Heavenly Father, we thank you that the word that you've prepared today through Andrew will not see void. Lord, we ask for the Spirit to fill the room, quiet in the room, quiet in our hearts, Lord, so we can just receive what you have prepared for today. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon you, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, champion. Don't know if you've noticed it this morning, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hey? And that sense of... And the secret with that is not to try and control it. Hey? We can't force the Holy Spirit to come, but we can let Him come. And let Him manifest in our lives. And I'm going to pick on a few people this morning. Sorry in advance. Didn't give you any warning. When I first met Adam, he was wearing a security guard uniform and standing at the front door of our church at Fennel Bay. That day I had no idea. I had no idea then how much of life we would share. The highs, the lows. And then 18 years later, he would still be a significant part of my life. When I first met Catherine, she was a student at the Salvos Discipleship School, and I was a guest lecturer in 2007. I had no idea that one day, well, many days, we would be working together, serving God together, and that she'd still be in my life 16 years later. When I first met Simon, we were both new attenders at Long Jetty. On that day, I had no idea how much of life we would share, how closely we would work together as he served so beautifully at Long Jetty, and that he'd still be in my life 13 years later. I believe we need eyes to see who God has put in our lives, and be open to God as to the purpose for which He has placed those people in our lives. I don't believe in coincidence. It was God who said, it's not good that man should be alone. And I think when God said that, He wasn't just thinking about making him a wife, but He was thinking about mankind. And that mankind was made for relationship. Think about this. God is relational, is he not? He has spent all of eternity hanging out and relating to the Holy Spirit and to the Son. Well, the Son to the Father to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Those guys have been having a relational party for a very long time. And we are made in God's image, which means, like it or not, we are relational. We need people. More importantly, we need the right people. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And I think if we want a great example of how to do relationship well, then we look to Jesus, because he is our great example. How good is it, right, that God decided that he would come and walk on the planet for 3 years in the form of Jesus Christ and show us how the heck to do this thing called life? That was a really good idea, I think. Hope you agree with that. You don't have to. I don't know about you, but if someone's telling me what to do, I'm like, who said that? Dawn. Show me the money. Right? Don't tell me. Show me. I'm happy to follow a God who's shown me. Not just told me, but shown me. Anyway, let's have a gawk. On your seats is a sheet. That's just to keep your attention if you've got ADHD or something like that and haven't taken your meds this morning. Luke 6. Oh, the first point is Jesus understood the purpose of relationships. Relationships. Sorry, my mind just goes to Forrest Gump's feather. And when I refer to Forrest Gump's feather, it's that kind of new age ideology behind the movie of Forrest Gump that everything just, you know. It's not a Christian worldview, just so you know. Fatalistic, that's the word. Thank you, Haley. Life is not fatalistic. God's actually in control of it, and everything has a purpose. And I believe relationships should have a purpose. And we see him. I just want to be nice this morning. I'm trying hard to be nice. Because we don't tend to do relationship well as human beings, do we? Seems to be hard. You know why? Because we're broken people. And broken people break other people. And hurt people hurt people. And so we really, really need God's help and wisdom. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. All right, here's Jesus. Luke 6, 12 to 13. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying. Has anyone spent the whole night praying? No, me either. Don't worry about it. Because, you know, like, if you have, come on, I'd like to know. Because it's not easy. We spend all night doing a whole bunch of stuff. But praying all night's pretty hard. But it's how Jesus, how committed he was. Because when the morning came, he called his disciples to him. And chose 12 of them, whom he also designated as apostles. John 12 tells us that Jesus did everything the Father gave him to do. So Jesus discerned the Father's will that he was to have a team of disciples that would continue his work. And he knew how to... Got no idea what I wrote there. What I'm trying to say is Jesus, the Father directed Jesus to choose his team. There's a good idea. I've learned over the years that there are two people I need to listen to when I'm choosing team. God. You can guess the other one. Thank you very much. Because Melissa's always been very discerning. And took me the first few years of marriage to work out she was often right when it came to discernment. Because you got to understand how these gifts work, right? I just felt led to ask Simon to come pray for Marty. But you can see what manifested through Simon is the gift of faith and the gift of wisdom. That's why we do network, because it's important to identify our gifts and work out how they manifest for the benefit of everybody. When Simon opens his mouth in a prayer meeting, faith comes out. And that lifts everyone's faith. That's the purpose of the gift on his life. Does that make sense? The gift of discernment is sometimes difficult to use because you say, I just have a weird feeling. And I have more of a gift of wisdom. And I say, well, what do you mean? She goes, I don't know. I just have a feeling. Well, that's not enough for me. You know, 3 months or 6 months later when she was proven right, that was enough for me. Does that make sense? And so we need to understand how the gifts work in different people and have an ear for how sometimes, you know, the disappointing thing, we all like to be very spiritual and hear God just for ourselves. Sometimes the disappointing thing is God speaks through people. And we need to be humble enough to hear them. It's a side note, but it's worth sharing. And we see these 12 followers of Jesus do life with him. It wasn't work, it was life. With him over the next 3 years. We don't have all the details, but we know that they walked a lot together. They ministered together. They ate together. They talked together. And they did life together. I believe Jesus came into relationship with his disciples through God's provision and relying on God's wisdom. I want you to hear that. If we need more relationship in our life, if we need more healthy relationship in our life, we need to look for God's provision and rely on God's wisdom. Does that make sense? Look for his provision and rely on his wisdom. Some of you know Ray Heron, the Salvation Army officer who started the Salvation Discipleship School, a program that's impacted a lot of people's lives here. In 1994, after being a student under Ray and then working for him for 18 months, he ran out of work for me. And I was heading back to Queensland. Ray said this, really interesting thing. In hindsight, you can see it was the Spirit of God. But he just said, in passing kind of, he goes, I just sense we'll be working together again someday. This was 1994, right? Little did we know, him or me, that I would work for him again a couple of years later, but that we would be involved in each other's ministries for the next 25 years. See how we need eyes to see. Just an openness, say, maybe this is God. If you met Ray, he's a weird guy. If you met me, I'm a weird guy. Okay? But we're meant to do a bit of life together. And praise God, we're both open to that. Who was blessed by Ray Aaron's teaching on the school? There's a number of people in this room. Taught about the Salvation Army history like no one I've ever heard before. And little did we know that day in 1994 that we'd still be friends 29 years later. God sends people into our lives for a purpose which results in mutual blessing. Ray's been a blessing to me and I've been a blessing to him. That's how it works. Mutual blessing. It's best we stay open to that and watch for his provision and ask for his wisdom to navigate that provision. Because sometimes God sends people into our lives and we're too stubborn and proud and we blow it up. Then we wonder why we're lonely. Don't blow up good things, friends. My next point is about how to not even supposed to blow up the bad things. Because what about Judas, right? He was in the 12. Here's a funny story. I'm not sure when Jesus first knew that Judas was going to be a traitor, whether he knew from the beginning or partway through. He certainly did by the time of the Last Supper. But we do know that it was God's will for Judas to be on the team. There's prophecy about that. That's disappointing. If Jesus did know from the beginning, I can imagine, this is not from the Bible, I'm just making this part up, right? But I think it's funny. If Jesus was having a conversation, he was human and he was God, right? So it's possible that, you know, on the night, Jesus spending all night praying about who was to be on the team, you know, and he's saying to, you know, after he hears the Father say, Judas, if this did happen, I don't know if it did happen, but imagine Jesus saying to the Father, oh, Dad, do I really have to choose that guy? But my second point is Jesus treated all his relationships with grace and truth. So important. And we see that in John 13:26, then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. He handed the bread to Judas. It was an amazing act of humility if you study this passage. This act of dipping the bread and giving it to someone was what was done to the honored guest. Someone in that room before Jesus did it for Judas should have done it for Jesus. How humble of Jesus to do that for Judas. That's power right there. You want power in your life? Get humility. Humility is power. True humility is where we see the power of God. I believe that when Jesus dipped the bread and gave it to Judas, the power of that humble, gracious, loving act had all the power to cause the scales to fall from Judas's eyes. I actually believe it was Judas's last chance. But the power of the Son of God showing grace and humility to Judas, I believe the power was there for him to actually change his mind. Sadly, Judas resisted that grace, but Jesus still offered it. That's the point I want you to hear. Jesus still offered it. Jesus treated everyone with the same grace, truth, humility, and love, because how we treat people is not about them, but speaks about who we are. Do I need to repeat that? Thank you, just checking. Jesus is love. He is humility. He is grace. He can't help but treat everyone like that because that's who he is. It's a little bit sobering, but how we treat people is not according to how they are, but according to who we are. Friends, when people treat you badly, it's not an excuse to treat them badly. Because how we treat people speaks about who we are. So even those who choose to be our enemies, we are meant to treat with grace and truth, with love and humility. But you say to me, what if they've betrayed me and attacked me and let me down? Notice I never used the word trust. I didn't say you're supposed to trust them. Trust is very different. Jesus loved Judas. He showed him humility, grace, spoke truth. I believe he trusted him. That's the kind of wisdom we need, to know when to trust. You've heard me say it before, but I feel like I've spent 20 years in ministry teaching people how not to trust each other. We're sometimes very foolish in this, friends. And we need wisdom to know who to love everyone, but love doesn't mean trust. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love always trusts. You study the passage, I mean, love always believes the best. Believing the best in someone's different to trust. People earn your trust. If they haven't earned it, don't give it. That will save you much pain. I did say love, that means having their best interests at heart. I did say act with humility towards them. That means making sure the focus is on them. You know how to have humility in a relationship? Make sure the focus is more on them than you. That's humility. Love is about having their best interests at heart. Grace means not treating them as they deserve. God's grace to me is that he doesn't treat me as I deserve. That's what grace means. Jesus treated Judas with grace and truth and humility and love, but I don't believe he trusted him. John 2:25, you heard me share this before, is when a lot of people were putting their faith in Jesus, but it says in that passage, Jesus did not put his trust in them. And that word trust means he did not entrust himself to them. He didn't put his security in people. Friends, we're meant to love people. And when we build trust, even have deep relationship, but our security is never meant to be in them. Please don't put your security in human relationships. Our security is to be in God. And then we can love people. Because we're not trying to suck our security out. You ever been around needy people? Here's a better question. You ever been a needy person? You know, and you can scare the hell out of people because you're sucking the life out of them. Stop it. Go and suck the life out of God. He's got plenty of life to share. Hey, and then when you suck the life out of God, go and share it with someone else. That's a good idea. Must be a God idea. I believe life is full of purpose and our relationships are also to be purposeful, and some relationships are not there. This is good, right? I didn't make this up. I just stole it from God. Some relationships are not there for us to be happy, warm, or fuzzy. Sorry. But to teach us wisdom and to help us grow in grace. You know, there's some people on the planet just sent into our lives to test us. That's disappointing. But they're not going anywhere. And if they do, God will send someone else that annoys the hell out of you just as much. Because you prayed one day for patience. Your fault. You prayed for wisdom. It's your fault. Don't pray for wisdom and don't expect problems. Because how do you expect that spirit of wisdom to manifest in your life if you don't have a problem? Does it make any sense? It's important to note that Judas may have been in the 12, but he wasn't in the 3. And that's my final point this morning. Jesus understood the purpose of close relationships. You got any close relationships? We need some close relationships, friends. We don't have emotional energy or space for a lot of them, but we need some of them. Mark 9:2, after 6 days, Jesus, I don't even know what that part means, but anyway, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them to a high mountain where they were all alone. That's a weird verse. We see this phrase, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. That phrase, we see this phrase 4 times in the Bible. We are not told why, but we see that Peter, James, and John seem to have a closer relationship with Jesus than the other disciples. Can I just make a side note here? With these closer friends, we don't see Jesus being exclusive. Right? He didn't put it on Facebook. Neither did Peter, James, and John. Oh, look, I'm hanging out with Jesus and you're not. Don't do that dumb stuff. It hurts people. They were discreet about it. We're naturally closer to some people than others. We're meant to be. We're meant to have our two or three. Just don't put it on Facebook. You hurt people when you do that stuff. We're not meant to hurt anyone. But it's okay to have close friends, and I actually think we need them. I find it fascinating that John seems to be the closest to Jesus, even out of the three. You ever read, go home and read 1 John, 2 John. Just read 1 John will do. Some of the best description of the love of God you'll find anywhere. Why? He was the disciple that lent his head on Jesus' shoulder. Hey, John knew the love of the Father. Why? You know what? I think any of the 12 could have got into the three. Could it's those who proved faithful and trustworthy and wanted to get that close. See, when it comes to Jesus, you can get in the three if you want to. You just got to want to. And I think John really wanted to. And so he understood the love of the Father. And here's the other interesting point, right? If you read the Bible, Jesus received comfort. Well, it says it. That he received comfort from the Father. He received comfort from the Holy Spirit. Jesus received comfort from angels. It's all in there, right, in the Bible. But I believe he also received strength and comfort from his disciples. Wow, Son of God received comfort from some human beings. Because he let himself, Jesus in his humanness, let himself get close enough to them. And they let themselves get close enough to him. And so I believe that Jesus found comfort from his relation. And not just Peter, James, and John. You look at Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus had healthy relationships. He showed us how to rely on the right people. It's okay, long as they're the right people. There's a handful of people that cross our path that God has placed there for us to have close, vulnerable, and deep relationship with. Close, say after me, close. Vulnerable and deep. Say vulnerable again.
Vulnerable.
Love it. And if we perceive who they are and navigate healthy relationship with them, they can see us through life's tough times and they'll be there to celebrate the good times. Hey, that's the purpose of close relationship. I was going to say 2011. I don't really know. Probably it's 2009, 2008. Melissa and I decided to bring the Salvos Discipleship School to Long Jetty. 3 years later, we didn't know we'd have the opportunity, but again, we said yes to being the leaders of Long Jetty. And the last 12, 14 years has been rich with relationship friends. It's been rich. It's been rich. So glad I said yes. So glad we said yes. It's so right to say yes to the right thing. I'm so glad of God's provision and direction. It's been very rich. Because we have relational needs and we need Jesus' relational wisdom to see these needs be met. I don't believe anyone's meant to be alone. That's why we talk about coming home. We're not talking about coming to a building. We're talking about coming into relationship with God and safe people. That's what we mean by coming home. Hey? And the whole world needs to come home, friends. There's a lot of lonely people out there that don't need to be lonely. It's good for us to understand who our team is, who our closest trusted people are. And with God's wisdom, navigate and nurture the relationships that God has gifted to us. As the band comes, I just want to invite you. You know what? If you're in this room and you don't have some kind of relationship complication or problem, you're probably in denial. Hey, it's just life. It's just life, isn't it? And so as the band comes and we have a time of meditation and you can sing if you want, you can come and kneel and pray if you want, but it's an opportunity for you to take, you know, maybe if it's a good season in your relationship life, thank God for some people in your life, right? Say, God, thank you for this person, this person, this person. And if you've got some relationship issues in your life right now, it's time to probably come and put that person at the foot of the cross and say, God, give me some wisdom here. Give me some wisdom in this relationship. Is this person too close in my life and we need a bit more space? Sometimes that's God's wisdom, just to get some more space in a relationship. Sometimes God's wisdom says, no, that person's meant to be closer in relationship. Okay, that's why we need to listen to God, because it's not one size fits all. He needs to give us wisdom in every particular relationship to navigate that thing. And so now's your time to just pray and say, God, can you give me your wisdom? And you know which relationship or relationships you need to pray about. Let me pray, eh? And then let's spend some time just reflecting on our relationships in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we thank you that we are not meant to be alone. Lord God, give us eyes to see. Open our eyes to see the people that you've placed in our life for good purposes. And help us to build healthy, safe, trusting relationships. And Lord, open our eyes to see those who we may have let too close and we need to get a bit of distance from. We help us still to love those people and treat them with grace and truth and humility. But help us to be wise. Thank you, Lord, your Spirit gives us wisdom. Lord, grant us that wisdom today. In Jesus' name, amen.